Hello and welcome to the 9th episode of The Immortal Index. I sincerely apologize that I've been off for 2 weeks. I was sick for one, and then work was just absolutely insane last week. But let me tell you, we are here today to finish the last four of the 8 Immortals. Talk about that. I'm going to be reading Overgeared, the first chapter. It's going to be great. Obviously, just to preface, I am not an expert on Chinese, Taoist, or Taoist history. So I'm learning this as I go. So please, this is my interpretation of what I read. So there may be room for discrepancy, or there may be false things. I'm not claiming to say it's completely factual, but I am claiming to say that this is what I researched and this is kind of what I discovered. So if there's anything you want to correct, please comment below. Hit that thumbs up and share this with your friends if you like the video, and please subscribe. I have 322 subscribers right now with 9 episodes. That's pretty awesome. You guys are the best. Thank you so much for supporting the show and, you know, being a part of this Xianxia podcast. So I really, really appreciate you guys. So yes, as I said, we're going to be talking about the last of the four, but I'll be reading Overgeared, which is by Park Sae-nal. It's currently being translated by Rainbow Turtle, which if you read Legendary Moonlight Sculptor, you'll recognize that name. It's very similar to the same vein. So I'm going to be talking a lot about that after I go through these four immortals, because honestly, guys, I started Overgeared a week ago, and I just haven't stopped reading it since. It's one of those like novels that's just like candy. You just can't stop reading it. So I'm on chapter like 400 something right now. So really digging it. So first up, let's get into this. Thank you so much for watching. I want to just say really quick a nice thank you to Hyorin Maru, who translates Martial World. I covered Martial World on the show a few weeks back, or 4 or 5 weeks back, and we showed you some of the magic cards that we brought in, some of the magic cards that I made for a contest that he was doing, and guys, I won! Yay! That was pretty awesome! So, I won either a PlayStation 4 or a Nintendo Switch. I haven't decided yet, I don't know, I gotta look at the games and see what I wanna do, but that's so cool! That's why I really love these translators. I love this community because everyone's so supportive and everyone has these fun contests and really brings people together. So, if you want to check those out, you can check them out there on the front page of Wuxia World right now. But if you want to check them out in the past, you can take a look at the novel updates for Martial World on Wuxia World. And read Martial World. I really like it. I had a comment in the YouTube earlier saying that they tried to read it. They weren't a big fan, but they really loved Rebirth the Thief. So that's really great. Like, you know, all these novels aren't for everyone. Everyone has the things that they really love and the things that they are really into, which will lead me to the poll question at the end of the show. I won't give you I won't give you like the choices from right now, but I'll tell you the question. The poll question for this coming week is going to be, what is your favorite story building foundation? Like, you know, what's the thing that starts the novel off to make the MC very different from everyone else in the world, that sets them on this path to power? So in fact, screw it. I'll tell you the options right now. One is going to be reincarnation. Two is going to be transmigration. Three is expert spirit gurus. And four is going to be a magic artifact. So I'll talk about that at the end of the show as well. But those are your choices for the poll. I'll put that up right after this show stops taping. So check that out. And again, go check out Martial World. I support Hyorin Maru. I'm really happy that I won the contest. But, you know, I would support him anyway. So that's what I really love. So first, we're going to talk about one of the most famous of the 8 Immortals. And it's Lu Dongbin. All right, so Lu Dongbin is the most widely known. He's also known kind of as the de facto leader of sorts of the 8 Immortals. He's also most significant as he receives worship outside of the group context. So if you go back to the video from 3 weeks ago, I basically talk about how a lot of these immortals aren't really venerated singularly. It's more like in a group setting. Lu Dongbin is actually venerated singularly, which is kind of cool. It's a very different like level of fame. What's also cool is that he's depicted as a scholarly man, but he has a badass sword that dispels evil. Sound familiar? It might sound familiar because that is a very common theme in Xianxia. So let's go through one of his legends. Right? Cool thing about this, he was one of the first tales, to take it back to Wuxia and Xianxia, is he was one of the first to have his birth surrounded by events. So this is a very common historical theme in China, of like auspicious signs in the sky signaling the baby's birth. But he was like over the top. So, you know, he had a head like a crane. His back was like a tortoise, frame strong as metal, muscles hard as wood, and eyes like a phoenix. A crane, a white crane, flew through the window and disappeared into the bed as he was born. Crazy things like that, which is cool. And if you guys know about the symbology, tortoises are known for their health and longevity. Obviously, the whole thing with metal and wood is like a nature thing, but then cranes are actually, white cranes are kind of a symbol of immortality, so it's a precursor to him being an immortal later in his life, which is kind of cool. He failed his entrance exam, so if you're gonna compare it to a story, look at I Shall See the Heavens, where Meng Hao starts as a scholar. He failed his entrance exams twice with poetry and philosophy. But on his way home from failing, he was thinking to himself, maybe this isn't the path for me. Maybe I wouldn't be happy on this path. I don't know. So instead of beating himself up, it's another lesson teaching you, like, just because you fail at one thing doesn't mean you're a failure in everything. So I thought that's really cool. But on his way home, he stops by an inn and meets an obese, jolly man who offers to share his dinner with him. As he sits down to enjoy dinner, he falls asleep. And if you're reading these novels, you know that falling asleep usually triggers something. So in his, he had a dream, and in his dream, he excelled in the exam. His life was entirely the same, but in this part, he excels in the exam. He gets an office. He gets promoted. He marries a prosperous daughter. He has a son and a daughter. He's promoted again. Success, unfortunately, though, attracts jealousy, and being falsely accused, he was banished from his town, his wife betrayed him, his children were slaughtered by bandits, and he became poor again, and as he died on the street, alone with nothing, he wakes up at the table again. So, as he wakes up, of course, this jolly fat guy is there to greet him and says, "You have lived an entire life in less time than it took your millet to cook." He finds out that the old man is Zhang Liqian, and that is another of the eight immortals that we'll be covering today. After seeing how his life could have played out, he wanted to follow Zhang Li's example and learn from spiritual attainment. So basically, Lu Dongbin is under the tutelage of Zhang Liqian, which is really cool because also he was firstly named Lu Yan. So Lu Dongbin was a man named Lu Yan, but after trying to learn spiritual attainment from Zhang Liqian, he renames himself to Lu Dongbin, which is a translation which means the guest of the cavern. And it's a name to always remind himself that the cavern of mortal existence is not his true home, which I thought is really cool. One legend references alchemy as a means to turn base metals into gold, which is a very common theme in a lot of modern day literature, modern day media, Full Metal Alchemist, like anything that deals with alchemy has a lot of things about philosopher stones or things like that. How do we turn stones into gold? Because everyone wants to make gold, because it's gold is always a allegory for the greed of humanity. So it makes sense. When they're talking about how to turn metals into gold, Dongbin asks, "After the stones have turned into gold, will they remain gold forever?" And Qian responds, "No, the gold nuggets will revert back after 3,000 years. Dongbin replies, "I would rather not learn a technique that could potentially delude or harm people." Qian then, at that moment, admits that Dongbin's understanding of the Tao surpasses even his own. And this is kind of the arrival of the de facto leader of Lu Dongbin within the Eight Immortals. So it's kind of cool that somebody is trained by another immortal, but then rises to surpass the previous immortals. Many legends have Dongbin testing the virtuosity of people and rewarding them based on their deeds. You see this in novels all the time. Let's say there's a famous one for Dongbin is there's a blind salesman, right? And he says that he'll reward people who don't take advantage of him. So that's kind of an easy example where there's a blind salesman who sets up his table and he's selling things, and people will steal stuff from him. People take advantage of the fact that he's blind, but those who don't and treat him fairly, he rewards as he's an immortal in disguise. So that's kind of the same thing that we talked about in the last poll was hidden expert beggars. Immortals love to be mischievous and do that kind of stuff. As I talked about before, going into the Shenxia nods, there's tons of nods, the appearance of alchemy with near magic levels. There's always phrases of the dog who bites Ludong Bin. Because he is such a virtuous person, he's a nice person. It's an insult in these novels to tell people they're like a dog biting Ludong Bin, because it's like going against somebody who's been kind to you. That's what those phrases mean. The virtuous tests and rewards, not lying, etc. Those are in a lot of novels. Living a life when a dream, or experiencing an entire life in illusion. That's referred to as samsara. In a lot of novels, it's returned to as the cycle of life and death. Lots of novels use those as a playing point. And then the auspicious signals with the birth are used in wuxia. You see those a lot in wuxia, but then also in breakthroughs in xianxia novels. So anytime somebody's breaking through the next level, if they're super powerful or if they have a special body type, you'll see they'll talk about how there was symbols in the sky and like illusions of dragons and things like that. So that's an example of that. So this is like a very early adaptation that talks about that. So one of four down, that was Ludong Bin, which is really cool. If you search him up, look up legends, there's tons of them. There's literally hundreds and hundreds of them. So if you're interested in him, check him out. I do want to take a break from the show just for a moment to tell you guys about AfterBuzz TV, though, because obviously, as you can see on these screens behind me, AfterBuzz TV is the studio where I tape the show. It's also the studio where I've worked at for the past 7 years. I owe a lot of my experience and my work history to them. I really appreciate everything that the owners have done for me, career-wise and personally, and just as friends and mentors. I really appreciate it. So this podcast couldn't be there without them. So if you guys are a big fan of TV, if anyone loves, let's say, Preacher, or what are the new shows? We got Dancing with the Stars, World of Dance, we got Below Deck Mediterranean, we got all that kind of stuff. Any TV show on TV right now, if you're a fan of it, we have an after show for it, where you can talk with people who are like-minded like you, fans of the content, to talk about the TV show. So just go to AfterBuzzTV.com, check that out, support the people that support me, because I don't have to pay for studio space because of the kindness of them. So it's really great. Please check that out. Time to get back into this. Let's move on to the second of today's four immortals. Hein Seong Tzu is the second that we're going to be going through. And we have the picture up right now. You can see that there's a writing utensil in his hand. It's kind of cool. So Hyun was a austere seeker of the metaphysical. The closest example I could get to this is in Xinxia novels, when they're talking about perceiving the nature of all things. If you're going to attain enlightenment in water, or if you're going to attain enlightenment in wood or anything, this is the study of the metaphysical. He was uninterested in worldly affairs, and he embodies naturalness and spontaneity in terms of why plan for the future when you just have to get what you need today. And this is seen through his acts. This is seen through some of the legends in terms of how he treats peasants and how he helps peasants and helps the poor. It's never about getting rich. It's always about getting them what they need for that moment. So in the legends, he was educated, but instead of serving office, he explored the mountains and played flute. His response to his uncle's criticism is that you and I have different ideas of study, which is kind of a really cool teaching to have a religion teach. Because when you look at religion as a whole, in most histories and in most areas, it's think what I think or, you know, get out. It's the study of the like mind. So what's really cool about this is that, you know, you don't have to rise to other people's aspirations. It is whatever your aspirations are. So you and I have different ideas of study. Ludong Bin became his mentor, and he found spiritual attainment through doing that. So Dong Bin brings him to the Queen Mother of the West's peach orchard. Obviously, peaches are known for their symbol of immortality in these stories. The Queen Mother of the West is the one who grows the peaches of immortality. But due to a disaster, he falls from the tree and is killed, but he's not actually killed. What would have killed him, actually, by the time he hits the ground, he's now an immortal. So there's various different interpretations of the tale, but in all of them, he ends up, through a chance encounter, becoming immortal. After returning to the mortal world, he encounters his uncle again, who still has the same attitude towards his meanderings through life. And again, he responds, "Our paths are different. You are destined to be famous in the realm of mortals, and I am meant to escape from the dust of this world." He also gave his uncle a prophecy. Very vague. He says, "Lost on the far Qian Mountains, I cannot find my way. Snowdrifts cover the Lan Pass, and my horse can do no more. His uncle was later then stripped of his position for being anti-Buddhist and sent to a distant outpost. As he was traveling through the Qian Mountains, he was caught in a blizzard, which made his horse falter near death. Han Xiongzu arrived next to him and cleared his path and told him to be patient for his bad fortune to be reversed. He leaves him in safety with wine and flies off to be with the other immortals. So, fun fact about this, this legend is a prime example of using the media of the time to influence the masses to a certain degree, right? So, like, there's a lot of religious bias throughout history. When one religion is in power and then another one is coming to take that power, there's a lot of people that get caught in the crossfire. A good example of this is the movie Silence with Andrew Garfield and Liam Neeson, where there is a main religion and then there is another religion vying for supremacy, but then the government decides to take violent action against the new religion. But what happens sometimes is the new religion actually gains more speed and takes over and then becomes the predominant religion, that all the roles are reversed. So in this, as his uncle was anti-Buddhist, it's thought that he was, it's thought in the story that he was Taoist. As he lost his position in all of his riches over his anti-Buddhist beliefs, life turned around as society moved more towards Taoism as the main popular religion. So it's a tale meant to comfort those who are of the unpopular belief of the time, giving them hope that the unpopular belief will soon become the popular and not to give up in the face of the adversity of the current popular belief. So it's definitely an interesting tale that it has a reason. Very similar to the Bible in that a lot of the tales in the Bible are meant less to be taken as truths and more to be lessons learned through storytelling. A lot of the eight immortals legends are that same kind of thing. Obviously, the Shinshinad is that it's very prophecy heavy. A lot of novels will start with a prophecy that you won't kind of have come around for another 600, 700 chapters. There's not really too many. The only thing I can think of really is the mindset of the MCs having a realization that they can't take somebody else's Tao to reach the pinnacle. That's also a very common theme when... especially in Desolate Era, it's fairly pronounced where, you know, you could teach them everything that you know, but everyone needs to find their own path. This is the immortal that really kind of struck down those chords in terms of, you know, naturalness and spontaneity. Everyone has their own path. And in the quote, you say, our paths are different. You and I are of different ideas of study. It has to be their own, as Han Xiongzu's quotes are just a good example of this. So that is our second immortal of the day. I wish I had a little like soundbite that's like second immortal of the day, you know? I won't do that again. So let's move on to our third immortal of the day, because that's what we're doing here today. We have, Zhang Guolao. So who was Zhang Guolao? He was proficient at the magical arts. He is usually mostly seen riding a white donkey. And you're like, oh, how is a donkey immortal? And I'm going to tell you that in a minute. He's super eccentric, which makes sense because he rides a white donkey. He's also a master of the bizarrest form of martial arts, which is really cool because this is kind of one of the big influences for... a lot of the crazy wuxia fighting that you see in movies. Let's say when somebody's standing up like this, let's do it this way, and they just bend all the way backwards to like where their head's an inch or two above the ground, but their feet are still on the ground. That's an example of from the legends of Zhang Guolao. He also does like the kicks during the backflips. A lot of the imagination of wuxia martial arts is influenced by Zhang Guolao. So that's kind of cool. The legends are of him after becoming an immortal. Like 90% of them are him after he's already attained immortality, which is different because a lot of the other legends are of how they become immortals. He began life as a peasant, and one day he slept in a monastery and woke up to this delicious smell. He was wandering around and came upon this pot of stew that he thought was prepared for the people who sleep in the monastery. He ate it, and then he fed some to his donkey, and then found out that it was actually a special immortality brew that somebody was making. Since then, he is known for helping the poor and instructing the spiritual. So, he's a nice guy. That's really cool. He's a good dude. So, to go further into his story after he's already become an immortal. His name has spread far and wide, this man who's helping people. An emperor sent an envoy to conscript him to serve in the emperor's dynasty. The envoy arrives to his shack to see that Zhang Guo Lao is long dead, covered in maggots, and festered. That doesn't sound like an immortal. Well, guess what? He wasn't actually dead. He continued his work, and word spread back to the emperor again that he was alive. When the emperor found out he was tricked, he contacted a friend of Zhang to talk to him. When the friend talked to him, it was all good until he brought up the emperor's wish. And as soon as he brought up the emperor, Zhang Guo Lao dropped dead again. Right then and there. The friend started profusely crying, begging for forgiveness, kowtowing, everything, to which Zhang Guo Lao revives himself right in front of his friend and forgives him. Eventually, later on, he decides to visit the emperor to perform feats of magic, like turning himself invisible, pulling birds from the trees, like all these different crazy feats that are seen in a lot of the modern-day Xianxia novels. But he would not tell any of the secrets. He wouldn't tell any secrets of immortality, about anything he's done, or any of the secrets in the universe. So the emperor asked his magician, find out and let me know the immortal secret. So this is actually an excerpt from the Wikipedia page about how somebody wrote how this went down. The emperor asked the magician to tell me the secrets, and the magician responds, I know it. But if I were to tell your majesty, I should fall dead at your feet for revealing one of heaven's secrets. So I dare not speak unless your majesty will promise that you will go with bare feet and bare head to ask Zhang Guo, Zhang Guo Lao, to forgive you, in which case I should immediately revive. The emperor, having consented, Fa Shan said, at the time when cosmos was being evolved from chaos, the spiritual essence of a white bat, the sentence was broken off unfinished, for blood gushed from his seven channels of sense, and he fell prostrate upon the ground. The emperor hurried to Zhang Guo's abode, where he moved his cap and bared his feet and declared that he himself was the one to blame. Zhang Guo calmly replied, that young fellow talks too much. If I allowed him to go without punishment, I fear he might divulge the secrets of the universe. The emperor, having again and again implored forgiveness, Zhang Guo squirted water from his mouth over the face of Fa Shan, who forthwith came to life again. After this, the emperor was bade to never trouble the immortal again. He still gave him honors, but did not trouble him. So, kind of a funny dude. When you're talking about a super eccentric, like, I would say somebody dropping dead and being covered in maggots right in front of you, as you just mentioned the emperor's name, is definitely eccentric. And then just rising right back up and being totally fine. Telling somebody the secrets of the universe, and then as soon as they talk, they die. But can come back to life if they forgive him. So it's really cool. He was definitely eccentric. If you're going to go through the Xianxianads, eccentric mortals are very common in modern Xianxia. A lot of the aspects of magic can be found in legends from Zhang Guo Lao, as many stories have tons of crazy magic. The first example of heavenly oaths that I've found being utilized and made good on. We use this a lot in Desolate Era, but they're in all these novels where people can swear a heavenly oath that they won't divulge information. This is most similar to a heavenly oath being sworn upon their heart, where if they were to break the oath, then let blood flow from their orifices and they die. And this is exactly what happens because Fa Shan starts talking about secrets of the universe that he had learned from Zhang Guo Lao. So that's kind of cool that heavenly oaths were influenced from Zhang Guo Lao. So, that's number three. That is the third of today's immortals. And that is, I think, one of the coolest because I just love the fact that, like, a story encompasses a heavenly oath. I think that's really cool. Really quick, obviously, I want to shout out some people. I want to shout out Red Mirage, who's got his novel Painting the Mists. It's on Amazon. I really like to support people who, you know, make their own stuff and do what I do, which is just, you know, kind of contribute in some way to do something for this community because it's so awesome. So if you want, you can go support Red Mirage's novel. Just search Painting the Mists on Amazon. Also, I want to shout out all of the people. I want to shout out the people on YouTube right now. Tyler Kiley. Oh my God. Tyler Kiley's in the live chat. Good to hear from you, Tyler. Thanks for watching the show. I want to shout out so many people in our YouTube comments. Patanjali Lemon Squash Sword Immortal. Thank you for taking the suggestions. He's going to go check out Moonlight Sculptor, but just beware when you start Moonlight Sculptor, it's discontinued. So you might not get to the end. You might have to get like machine translations to get the end. Due to some random things happen. So when I recommended Overgeared. You should check out Overgeared before you move to Moonlight Sculptor. But I will say that Moonlight Sculptor gets through a lot of the good stuff before it kind of goes off the rails. So there is a lot of story there that's really fun. Shout out to Go to the Beach. Shout out to Phi D, Lou Blau, Tab M, Jose Cruz, Jack Ko, Poteng Bao, Thomas Edwards as usual, Akashi Mau, Don Seeker. Shout out to Deathblade as always. And Etfaler. How cool was that interview last time with Etfaler? That was really cool. If you haven't seen that, check that out. She translates for Valair Novels. She runs Valair Novels and she translates Sovereign of the Free Realms. So that's really cool. So please check that out if you're at all interested in that. And then the last thing I want to do is I want to thank a very special person. Where is it? I can't. Why isn't it showing up? There, I want to thank ZX Klinzefan for being a Patreon supporter. My first Patreon supporter. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Like, honestly, you're just giving me money for doing what I love to do. I do have a Patreon. I don't shout it out very often because honestly, I want to get this show to the level it should be before I start asking people for money. But hey, let me tell you, I have a Patreon. If you go there, you can give me money. I don't have any levels set. It's literally just hey, support the show, $1, $5 kind of thing. So appreciate you guys. Appreciate everyone who supports the show. And thank you so much. I'm now going to move into Zhong Li Qian. We're going to be talking about Zhong Li Qian, which is the eighth immortal, the final immortal on this list of eight immortals. Who was he? He was the most ancient of the immortals. He is renowned as an alchemist, and he's also the instructor of Lu Dongbin. If you were paying attention in the earlier part, he is the one who comes down to instruct him. He's remembered for his dedication to helping people, creating his own spiritual and moral character, and also being a fat guy with a fan or a peach. Peaches, of course, are a symbol of immortality. Fans, I can't remember right now. I apologize. So, legends. He was born with the features of an immortal. You also saw this in Lu Dongbin's story where they said, like, the back of a turtle, structure, sturdy like metal. He was born with the features of a mortal, which in this case resemble a big forehead, thick ears, long brows, red nose, square mouth, high cheek, and red scarlet lips. He actually did become a member of the court. One of the main thing thoroughfares with all these immortals is that they usually avoid that, but he actually became a member of the court. He was promoted to a general and sent to war. But he was not very good at it, apparently, because he was routed and forced to run away. Lost and freezing, he came across an old man who gave him directions to an adept who can get him in tune with his spirituality again. The adept called him by name and gave him sanctuary in a shack in the middle of the forest. He begged the man to instruct him on immortality. The man agreed and explored alchemy, Taoism, and magic practices with him. After 3 days of intense study, Zhong Li was dismissed and told to help people. He tried to return to say thank you, but the shack was gone. Later on, he dedicated himself to helping people spiritually and morally. He would use alchemy to make enough silver to save peasants. And after researching alchemy for his entire life, he discovers a recipe to become immortal. He becomes an immortal, and later on, he trains Lu Dongbin. Shinshin nods is that there's more alchemical references, and there's slight nods to mysterious immortals meeting the MC and then disappearing. Nothing really too solid with this guy. It's just really cool because he is the teacher of the most predominant Lu Dongbin, and he's also the oldest, so it's kind of cool that the oldest isn't the de facto leader of the eight immortals. It's Zhong Li Qian, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that's the eight. That is the eight. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being a fan. Thank you for being a fan. Okay, so that was the end. I feel so, like, a weight is off my shoulders. I've finished talking about the Eight Immortals. I'm sure they'll get brought up again. I think next week I might bring up the Queen Mother of the West. You let me know what you want me to talk about. Let me know in the comments. Hit that thumbs up. Be a fan. You know, hit me up on Twitter, at Immortal Index, or my personal Twitter, at Stephen Lemieux, STPHENLEMAUX. But if you don't, that's fine too. Just listen to the show. Enjoy. Leave a comment on iTunes. If you leave a comment on iTunes, you definitely get a shout out. So go ahead and subscribe there, or you can check out the SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/immortalindexpodcast. Now, as always, I do this all for free, so high ratings definitely help me find the show. But before I get into tonight's reading, I want to tell you guys that, again, I'm from North Carolina, and I live in California. I don't speak Chinese. I don't claim to speak Chinese. I don't claim to pronounce it right. I tried to pronounce it right. I will definitely keep trying to pronounce it right. Luckily, with today's novel, Overgeared, it's a lot. It's a Korean novel, so it is a little bit easier for the words in the first chapter, at least, to pronounce. There are some words throughout this novel that I definitely just can't pronounce at all, but I will do my best. And yeah, we're going to be reading Overgeared. It's by Park Seon-an, currently being translated by Rainbow Turtle at Wuxia World. Very similar to legendary Moonlight Sculptor, Rebirth the Thief, or King's Avatar. It's very goofy, but it's also very cool with the action, with the fight scenes, with how it's written. It's really fun. If you're a fan of Upgrade Specialist from Another World, it has a lot to do with items. He creates items. They have random effects. Sometimes the effects are good. Sometimes the effects are bad. The character grows in this novel, so it's kind of cool. I will start by reading. Everywhere you find this novel, you're going to see a translation from the Korean site that it's being pulled from. This is what Rainbow Turtle translated and put. This is from the author. The basis of this novel is a virtual reality game called Satisfy, developed by the world's top genius scientist Lim Cheol-ho and world-class scientists. The main character is timid, flaky, selfish, cares about money, and easily feels jealous of others. Because the author set up the character in this way, the story was difficult for the readers to read. But as the main character encounters various people and geniuses, he internally matures and his personality changes. If the main character is described as cancerous early on, at present he can be called a mature adult. However, those who don't read beyond the hurdly parts of the fifth volume, aka chapter 90 or so, find it hard to believe. The basic setting and storyline are similar to other VR novels, but the praise worthy thing is the content development. The early parts aren't much different from rival novels, but the novel rating has exceeded the market average in recent years due to the writer's growth. Like other novels, it contains a munchkin element, but it is different from typical munchkins. In the early stages, the game progresses with the main character using his class of a legendary blacksmith. The main character expands the game content and level of the existing users dramatically increases. Hidden talents, new players, and the official rankings, classes that could break the balance, all of this makes the main character's one-man show impossible. The main character grows internally and externally while competing with others. In fact, if you compare the simple and ignorant battle method in the beginning to his abilities in the present time, it is possible to feel such a sense of distance that he doesn't feel like the same character. I'm 400 chapters in, guys. I can tell you that is without a doubt true. It's very, very cool how the author has grown his character in the story. Back to it. As for the evaluation of the work, the criticism was severe in the beginning, but the popularity increased rapidly after that. As described above, the improvement in the author's writing and the growth of the main character led to rapid changes in the comments. However, the main character's selfish and frustrating behavior caused many readers to stop reading in the beginning. For the readers who have gone beyond the beginning, it is a tragedy that seems really pitiful. Currently, its popularity is increasing and a webtoon was recently released. However, there are many criticisms of the webtoon due to various changes made. For those who are curious about the webtoon, there's a link on the Wuxia World page, although only the first three chapters are free. Basically, the quick description of the show, of the book, Shin Young-woo has had an unfortunate life and is now stuck carrying bricks on construction sites. He even had to do labor in the VR game Satisfy. However, luck would soon end his entire hapless life. His character Grid would discover the Northern End Cave for a quest, and in that place he would find Pagma's rare book and become a legendary class player. Cool! So, we have 15 minutes. I'm gonna run through this. And we're going to go, I'm going to skip the prologue, I think. Yeah, I'm going to skip the prologue. The prologue's really cool, but it's actually a chapter from like chapter 178 or something like that. So if you see the prologue, you do actually come around to that again. So let's go. Chapter 1 of Overgeared. Who's ready? Who's with me? Let's do it. I don't know who's in the, everyone's with me, right? You're still watching, so you're probably... Thank you, Anthony, in the booth for throwing the air horn. You're with me. All right. Take a sip. Here we go. After entering the Northern End Cave at the end of a 3 months journey, I was able to witness the overwhelming sight of all types of battle gear piled up like a mountain. Wow, what's this? The name of the brilliant battle gear were in a colorful mix of green, yellow, and purple. If I only took a few of those, I'd become a rich man. I wanted to take all of the battle gear, but it was impossible. This item cannot be obtained. How stingy and dirty. Items that couldn't be acquired despite them being right in front of me. When I put it in my bag, it would return to its original spot like a mirage. This situation was like that of a pie in the sky, or a woman already being married. No, a married woman was still different from a pie in the sky, as one could still obtain a married woman if one tried enough. Beside the point. In the end, I could only stare at the items with longing and regret. Indeed. If a user could obtain all these, Satisfy's economic balance might crumble. Ugh, unfortunately, I understand. I didn't come here for the battle gear in the first place. I soothed my mind and turned my attention away from the pile of battle gear. There was an old book placed on a shiny gold table. Finally! All the hardships I experienced while coming here passed through my mind. Laughter emerged as my nose became runny and tears dripped down. Thank goodness I had the patience and tenacity. Otherwise, I would have quit the game because of the terrible difficulty of the quest. I felt great pride in the thought of clearing this quest. I finally found it! Oh yeah! A damn S-grade quest that was impossible to give up. Incidentally, how many deaths have I experienced before on this solo quest? How many items were destroyed due to no durability? A human blacksmith who transcended the skills of a dwarf, Pagma, achieved the culmination of godlike techniques. The face of Oral Asher, who made me visit one of the Eternal Kingdom's 5 forbidden zones, popped into my head. If I bring this to him, I can get the Sun Sword? Once I get it, no one can match me for the rest of my life, you bastards! I'll make you pay for hitting me! Pleasure surged like a tide as I picked up the book. You have acquired the Legendary Craftsman's rare book. It isn't in a proper state. You can check the details using Eye of the Palalian. Do you want to use Eye of the Palalian? Eye of the Palalian? A high-end appraisal item is needed to check the item? Eye of Palalian was the most expensive among the existing appraisal items. 6 months ago, I had bought it just in case I hit a jackpot, but sadly, I couldn't use it and was left in my inventory. I don't want to miss a golden opportunity. I put the appraisal on hold and examined the golden table. I wondered if there was a way to take this gold away, but it wouldn't budge. Kicking, pulling, and even biting it was useless. It was an item like the battle gear that users couldn't own. I really can't salvage anything because of this effective system. The price of my 3 months of work is very high. I gazed at the book in my hand. I have to give Asher the item, so do I really need to use an expensive item to appraise it? I struggled for a moment before pulling out the Eye of the Palalian. It was natural to wonder about the source of my 3 months of suffering. Appraisal. Pagma's rare book. Rating, legendary. This is a book that contains the techniques of Pagma, the blacksmith who transcended human limits. The person who opens the book can become a legendary blacksmith. Effects, become Pagma's ascendant. Conditions, none. The level and stats will change when used. A legendary item has been found. Reputation will rise by 500 across the continent. My body started trembling. Whoa! Jackpot! It was a legendary item. My reputation rose by 500 across the continent just because I discovered it. It was an amazing harvest, given that it was difficult to raise reputation by 100 just in one city. Reputation is reputation, but I wondered if I had seen wrongly. I read the item description again. However, there were no changes in the contents. Jackpot! I was not hallucinating. I was extremely excited and could hear my heart beating wildly. I thought it was just a skill book, but it was actually for a class change. Furthermore, it was legendary grade. This meant this was the strongest class in the world. Moreover, there's no conditions to use. Tears flowed down from my eyes. During the past year, I had to pay the interest on my loan, my Satisfy account, and I also took a leave of absence from school. My friends left me one by one. The alumni of my school laughed at me. People thought I was lazy. My original plan was to sell the items I gained during the game and turn it into cash so that I could pay off my loan, my account, my tuition. However, Satisfied wasn't such a fair world. It was hard to earn money, and I could barely often, you know, obtain equipment for myself, let alone the ones I could sell. But now, now it was different. A thrill went through my body as I shivered. It's over! I can say farewell to this nightmarish life. A legendary class change item. If I register it an auction item on the item trading site, it's clear that the transaction price would be worth tens of millions of won. No, it was an item that gave the best class among 2 billion users. So would it only be worth 10 millions of won? I could be sure that it was worth at least hundreds of millions of won. I might be able to get my hands on an astronomical amount that I never even imagined. Father, mother, this freeloader finally made it. Now it's time to leave the game and forget about finding employment. My parents can quit feeling ashamed of their son in front of neighbors, especially Say. Oh, but finally did it. Now you don't have to be embarrassed every time you meet me on the street. When my parents want to come and play at my house, I don't have to refuse and make all sorts of excuses. And my friends, alumni, they can't ignore me anymore as a pathetic game loser. Although I was one. I will become a success with the game. And I have taken a few steps ahead of you guys in the society. I paid 10 million won to purchase a capsule and my loan interest rose by hundreds of thousands of won every month. Ah Young is still pretty. I imagined attending my high school alumni meeting for the first time in 2 years in a foreign car. The successful alumni wouldn't be able to ignore me anymore. Then I blushed as the face of my first love, Ah Young, came to mind. Okay, go and sell it! Quest? I didn't care about that right now. Obviously, while the reward was a weapon that belonged to the Epic rating, it was nothing in comparison to the price of this book. My affinity with Earl Asher would fall, and I'd probably end up with me not receiving any more quests with him. But there was no reason to be afraid in front of hundreds of millions of won. Log out! I confidently exclaimed. Then a notification window flashed in front of my eyes. You can't log out of the game here! Earl Asher has appeared. Huh? Dozens of knights jumped into the cave as I was struggling to understand. Then the familiar Earl Asher appeared. I panicked as he found me and his face distorted. Foolish traveler, you all have the same greed. The quest, Earl Asher's secret request, S-class, has changed to Earl Asher's anger, double S-class. Earl Asher's anger, difficulty level, double S. Earl Asher chose you due to your average abilities, your stupidity, and because you are easy to exploit. He entrusted you with the task of finding Pogma's rare book that he wasn't even sure existed. He put a washer on you and came urgently as soon as he heard that you entered the Northern End Cave. Earl Asher has witnessed you become blinded over greed by Pogma's rare book and has no intention of forgiving you. He intends to kill you and take away Pogma's rare book. Star! Affinity with Earl Asher has fallen by 100. Star! Due to your actions, all the fame you have built in Patreon has disappeared, and you have now become infamous. The affinity of Patreon's residents has fallen by 40. They will look at you and call you a thief. Quest, clear conditions. The deaths of Earl Asher and his escort knights. Clear reward. Obtain the title Noble Killer. Star! Noble Killer. Intelligence minus 50. That's great. All nobles in the kingdom will despise and oppress you. Your jobs will be limited. The affinity of some commoners and royalty will rise. Quest failure. Level minus 2. You will no longer be able to enter Patreon. Any Patreon soldiers will kill you on sight. Patreon was the starter city where I first created my character. I built up a considerable amount of reputation when completing quests in Patreon from level 1 to the present. And my affinity with the residents is at its maximum. All merchants gave me a 20% discount when buying goods, and the goods I sold were purchased at 50% above their value. There were residents who gave me a hidden quest when I posted them, but all these achievements automatically flew away the moment this quest updated. This is shit! A curse naturally emerged. Earl Asher, no, you bastard! This goddamn bastard forced me onto a quest where I wasn't sure if I could find the item or not. If Pogma's rare book was something that didn't exist, I wouldn't have struggled for months in vain. You're the one who would have lied in the first place. Yeah, you want me to make me notorious in Patreon? You filthy jerk! As their master was cursed at, the hot-headed knights immediately pulled out their swords. Earl Asher restrained them and spoke coldly to me. You had already decided to betray me before you knew you were deceived. Even so, you are still acting so proudly. Is it greedy to want a reasonable reward after the hardships of my journey? My betrayal wasn't certain, he sneered at my words. Didn't I already promise you to give you a reward in return? We entered into a contract, and you have trespassed on my good faith out of greed. This wasn't something that I could handle with words. As I fell mute, Earl Asher's momentum increased as he continued to chattel. You truly are a poor man. The more I watched, the more I could feel it. But there are times when you can do extraordinary things, as I honestly hadn't expected you to find this cave that had disappeared from history. I will punish you for your ignorance, but as a reward for your patience, I'll kill you as painlessly as possible. End of chapter one. It's a crazy novel, guys. It's really fun. It's exciting. It's goofy. It's got a lot of funny characters. It's got a lot of like funny misinterpretations of situations by the character, which leads to a lot of cool like novelistic storylines and arcs. It's a fun thing to read. Obviously, I started a week ago and I'm already chapter 400. So if you're a big fan of it, check out the link is in the description. Check it out right now. It's pretty fun. All right, that was our reading for the day. Obviously, go support Rainbow Turtle. He's got a Patreon up if you want to read Overgeared. You can get advanced chapters on his Patreon if you check it out. Now, the poll from 3 weeks ago was a battle between which of these four cliches inspired by the Eight Immortals was your favorite. The results are in. 12% voted for women with lotuses, 13% voted for souls leaving bodies, 8% voted for androgynous Taoists. Honestly, I'm surprised anyone voted for that, so like, good on you for actually having a few votes. And 67% of you loved hidden expert beggars. Obviously, though, hidden expert beggars are like seen in movies, they're seen in Wuxia, Jinsha, Xuanhuan, like all the stuff. So obviously, I figured that would win, but definitely not by the landslide that it won by. So that's really cool. Again, this week's poll, getting down to it. What is your favorite story-building foundation? Check out the Immortal Index Twitter at twitter.com/immortalindex to vote. What is it? Is it reincarnation, where the main character of the story dies in the beginning and he's reincarnated in a different situation or a different world and then grows from there? Is it transmigration, where he dies, he doesn't die, but something happens and his mind is pushed into the body of another individual, either in that world or another universe? Is it an expert spirit guru, where let's say they find a ring that has This happens in Battle Through the Heavens. They find a ring that has a old expert spirit in it that guides them and helps them train with like all these OP methods and makes them strong. Or is it a magic artifact in the case of Martial World, where he finds the divine crystal magic cube? Or in the case of Wudan Xiangkun, where he finds the ancestral stone? Those are two examples, but it's an artifact that has a lot of power in it. Sometimes magic artifacts contain the expert spirit guru, so just vote whatever you kind of feel better. So do that. Guys, thank you for tuning in. As always, please subscribe, hit that thumbs up in the bottom there, like this video, follow me on Twitter at Immortal Index. Check out my other videos and let me know what you'd like me to discuss. Let me know what you want me to read next week as our reading, and let me know what you think the topic should be. Or hit me up if there's an author you want me to reach out to get on the show. Obviously, I am excited because all the Wuxia World translators are all in Bangkok right now for a retreat. Everyone's meeting each other. Check out their Twitters to see that. Deathblade's posting a lot of pictures of that. It's really cool. But as always, thank you for watching the show. Thank you for supporting the show. Please tune in next week. I will be here, and we will see you all next week.